Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race recap show for season 16, episode 12, titled Bathroom Hunties. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by two potty mouths. First, from Breaking Down Bad Books is Dead. From Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo, please say...
You aren't strong enough, you aren't brave enough, you aren't funny, you will flop, you will fail.
To Mr. Nathan Patrick Brown.
That's no, just what Nathan. You said before we hit record, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, that wasn't plain Jane. That was me.
Yeah, I think so.
And from the podcast pod is my co-pilot. Please say...
I poop at least 5 times a day.
To Mr. Taylor, the latte boy. Hello, Taylor.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Guys, you guys missed it. These two were like catfighting.
Yeah. Vicious.
Off the air. I was like, stop, guys. There's clearly more than enough of me to go around. You know? They were both trying to be Poppy's little favorite. And it was really embarrassing. And if you want to hear that, you can go over to Just Between Us Girls, which is available at the executive tier level and above over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start implementing, so keep checking. If you've been wondering about it, I'm going to implement for the executive tier, actually. You know what? I'll do it this weekend. Fuck it. Go over to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia, and the executive tier, and maybe even the exclusive tier, you can try for 7 days for free. Check it out.
Oh.
See everything that you're getting right there at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. But first, before we do anything, let's get right into the show, because... I was telling the boys, I have everything and nothing to say about this episode. I think it's a very top-heavy episode where everything happened at the beginning and then nothing happened at the end. So it could either go 20 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes. We don't know. And then Taylor already quit. It was weird. All right, here we go. This week, the girls used their faces to paint T-shirts, work in teams of two to design a theme around going number two. And on the runway category is... Chain Reaction. On the main stage, Saphira and Plain are named the winners of the challenge, while Morphine and Dawn were placed in the bottom two after lip sync battle for their lives. Morphine was told, Shantae, you stay, while Dawn was asked to sashay away. Ladies, what did you think of the lip sync, and did the right queen win? I'm sorry, did the right queen go home this week? I will say, I'm very excited because Taylor's from the East Coast, so we know, and I happen to know the personal experience. I've been exaggerating how I say her name, Dawn. We're going to hear it for real right now. Taylor, let me say Dawn. Taylor, we'll start with you. What did you think of the lip sync? Did the right queen go home?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of the two of them. The second that song started, she had to know she was screwed. I mean, she kind of knew it, I think, going into Untucked, where she was like, I'm just going to have fun. That was pretty much, that was the nice way of going, I'm not going to win. I know I'm not going to win this. But I thought that Morphine did a great job. And actually now Morphine is tied for a number of lip sync wins as Maya was. So both the Miami girls
were really
lip sync assassins this year. Yeah.
What about you, Nathan? What do you think?
It was a massacre. Poor Dawn, she didn't stand a fucking chance. It was...
It was like a red Dawn.
It was bordering on embarrassing how much she was just getting murdered on that
Only
stage.
Only Taylor got that joke, actually.
It was a red Dawn, you could say. And I just think they must have wanted her gone so bad. Like, to have this Morphine lined up with that particular song, they were like, see ya, Dawn.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And I think maybe even Morphine's better than Maya at lip syncing. I thought it was so good.
Well, apparently she is because she sent her home last week. But I very much enjoyed her. I enjoyed watching her much more than I think I enjoyed watching Maya most of the season with her lip-syncs.
Maya was just all about the flips. There wasn't any really connecting with the songs. It was sort of the problem. She rarely connected with the song. She just boing, 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 boing everywhere, you know? And Dawn, like, the thing with... Well, wait, first of all, the Red Dawn joke. Taylor, do you want to explain the Red Dawn joke?
Yes. Red Dawn was a movie in, like, 1984, 85, I think, in which the Russians invaded the United States and a bunch of high school students, like, fended them off from this area of middle America. But it has a cast that has, like, a ton of really famous people in it. Like, Patrick Swayze's in it.
Is Jennifer Hutton in it?
No. No. Like, I think Jennifer Jason Leigh is in it. Leah Thompson is in it from Back to the Future. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember the scene. I've never seen the whole thing, but in the beginning where all the kids are in high school and the Russians start coming down in parachutes and like landing on the football field. And the principal goes out to ask these guys what they're doing and they kill the principal. And that's, you know, hilarity ensues.
Yeah. Anyway, now you know, Nathan.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually reading RuPaul's book at the moment, which is kind of terrible. But he does the exact same thing where he'll bring up a reference from like decades ago and then explain it in such minute detail. And I'm like astounded by his memory. And I feel like you guys are similar, Taylor. Like,
that sounds like a read, but okay.
No. It's like a photographic memory of things from so long ago. It's wild.
It's funny you say that, Nathan. Taylor told me once he... looked out at the lake and saw a man drowning and he was going to call 911, but then he was like, thoughts and prayers kind of thing. And like,
yeah,
figure it out. And now Taylor's fracking. People don't know this. Yeah. Anyway. Look, I rewatched the lip sync and it's like, when I first watched it, look, Megan Thee Stallion came on, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, Dawn is so dumb. I'm like, but maybe we've never seen her lip sync. Maybe she can pull it out. And then the second Morphine like stuck her tongue out, I was like, oh, this is it's done.
Yeah.
Like, I was wondering this on the second viewing. Did they almost like intentionally put Morphine in the bottom just to like send her home? I'm not even sure, but we'll talk about when we get there. I'm not even sure Morphine belonged in the bottom. Or at least in the bottom too. Do you think, I've seen this question posed on the internet, in the history of the show, that there is a lip sync that has been more lopsided? Nathan, what about you? You're a historian.
There was ones where people would flop, like Latrice versus Kenya Michaels. That was pretty one-sided.
One of my favorite lip syncs. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think this one was specifically designed for Morphine. And then they said, Dawn's also got chains in front of her face, so she can't really emote that well. Let's put her in the bottom.
Yeah. Well, also, just look, it's like, I was actually thinking, like, you know, BBLs, I believe, Brazilian butt lifts are expensive. Are they not? I don't know anything about them. And so, like, literally she earned whatever it cost for the BBL, it paid for itself on this lip sync. You know, it was sort of really good. All right, let's move on to the episode. Oh, no. I want to talk about something. Actually, we're doing something kind of different today. First of all, on Rulaska Thoughts, I mentioned that I'm taking submissions for people who want to maybe possibly do a co-hosting thing or whatever. And we've gotten submissions. And then I started thinking like, well, I never put an end date on this. I don't want this to go forever. Right. So here's the end date. Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific is the deadline. Wednesday, March. What is that? The 20 something or other?
27th.
Wednesday, March 27th. Because I'm thinking, there's probably people who are like, oh, man, am I going to send it or not? Send it. If you have it, send it. And Joe Batanz at afterthought.media. And we've already gotten some submissions. I'm going to listen to them. I've gotten them all. And we'll go through them. And we will go from there. Like I said, there's no one winner. It's like whoever's worth bringing on, we're going to bring them on. And whoever's
And not, just be careful what you wish for, people. Just think about it. Just really think it through.
Yeah, true. Good point. Careful what you wish for. Nathan's pretty rough, and you guys would have seen that. I want to do this. I know we're going to spend a lot of time on Q, so I want to do it a little bit early. Why don't we take a break right now? And then when we come back, we are going to talk about the rest of the episode. And we are back. After Maya's elimination, the girls say goodbye to the Queen of Flips, and Morphine takes pride in sending home her Miami sister. Most of the girls congratulate Safira, but Q proclaims she was robbed. She means Q, talking about herself. Later, Q rebuffs Plane's attempts to comfort her. It's a new day in the workroom, and the girls talk swaps. Q explains her silence after yesterday's runway and continues to claim Safira's win was undeserved. Next, Rue enters the workroom and announces this week's mini challenge. The queens will pay tribute to Tammy Faye Baker by creating a send-up of a signature t-shirt inspired by Tammy Faye Baker and use only their faces. Later, Plain Jane wilds guest judge Norvina and wins the mini challenge. Let's start with our very own NPB from Atlanta, Georgia. Nathan, what did you let's talk about every okay, why don't we do this? Let's be orderly about this. Forget the big moment with Q on the couches. Was there anything that came to your attention apart from that before we get to that? Because I thought we were gonna take a bunch of the time.
Oh, after the elimination, not to do with Q?
Yes.
Not really, because she sort of took up everything in that segment for me. But there was one shot at the end where Morphine's without any makeup and she's chewing off her nails and she looks like a little gremlin. And it just made me love her even more. I'm really loving Morphine right now.
And then Taylor, just become and go back to Nathan, but did you have anything you wanted to talk about that wasn't involving Q?
No, because anytime she was on screen, I was watching her and I wasn't paying attention to anything else that was going on. So no, I was focused on the queue.
Nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start with Nathan Patrick Brown. Nathan, Q, go.
She's a fucking brat. I hate her guts. I hate her sourpuss face. I think she's a cunt and not in a good way. I really don't enjoy her. I think what she did to Safira is so fucking shitty. And the way she like double tripled down on it, I can't stand her.
For those who don't watch the show, Q was being a big sourpuss and told Safira right to her face that she didn't deserve the win. Right there, straight up. And it was very awkward and uncomfortable. And she was just being a big spoiled baby about it. Let's go now. This is actually weirdly coincidental that we have on Mr. Taylor the Latte Boy, who's coming out with a book about this drag queen called Q the Sniper. By Taylor the Latte Boy DDS. Taylor, this is your field. You know, people go to the Royal Watchers about everything royal. That's you in terms of Q. What do you have as a mental health professional, as an author of a book about Q? What do you have to say?
Well, it wasn't a cute look.
Yeah.
It wasn't a cute look. I thought the fact that she did double down as much as she did the next day, and even when Safira said, or you could say, I was surprised, or I was gagged, or I was disappointed, you know, like trying, like, girl, I'm trying to give you something here. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it earlier today, and it felt very privileged. Mm-hmm. It felt very much of the, I am the cute, young, artistic, creative that's always been told that I'm amazing. So when I knock it out of the park, which in many ways she did, I expect to be rewarded for that. And when somebody else gets it, then she it fucks with her French vanilla fantasy. It's very much of the where I don't know how to handle this, so I'm just going to shut down. I think anytime we have ever seen a contestant who was disappointed, we have never seen it as genuinely shocked and just completely emotionally shut down as we did watching Q, particularly the night they de-dragged. And then to kind of sit all night and create this narrative in your head that Safira didn't deserve it, and then tell a bunch of people that, I think that is going to, on one hand, I think that is going to cost her fans, And then I think that there are going to be other fans that are going to feel like supportive of her, particularly because, again, cute white Twinkie queen versus queen of color.
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, exactly. I believe it or not, I actually do think that's a part of it. That's a part of it, I think, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Nathan, do you have other things to add to this?
Yeah, I just think she's warped. When she was like, I didn't say anything because I didn't want to cause a scene. And it's like, no, your face was speaking volumes. Like, yeah. Don't act like you were sitting there like a little wallflower. Like, you were shooting daggers around the room.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Guys, it's like doing a show with Nathan. I'm not going to lie. Whenever you don't hear Nathan talking, he's shooting daggers at me on camera. It's really uncomfortable. That's what it reminds me.
And he has a little spit curl in his forehead, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's wearing a big red ribbon collar.
Yeah, it's really awkward. Yeah, there's something wrong with her. I don't really get it. I mean, look, I've railed against her for weeks now. I don't like her, okay? What's funny is she's upset about something that, if we're being honest, she is at best third alternate. She's best third runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if Sophia didn't win, it probably would have gone to Nymph. And whatever you think about Nymphia, RuPaul loved it, you know?
Yeah.
And Nymphia looked amazing. Her outfit was phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
And then I think Plain would have maybe been ahead of her. And it's so funny to be so pressed, too, about a hacky... Okay, look, people either say she stole the joke from Katya or that this joke is older than dirt. Either way, she's pressed about a joke that, like, she made it up. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you didn't even make up that joke. She's a mental case. She is a literal mental case.
I think part of it was, and I'm a little behind on the episodes right now, so I'm slowly catching up. You might have talked about this last week
But you listen to the episodes, right?
I do listen to the episodes. Absolutely. I do. And I listen.
Somebody who listens knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that last week she thought she nailed it. And I think that there was part of that as she told her personal story I think she thought that sealed the deal. So there's almost which this is also a gross way to think this, but like I gave like the big emotional story figuring I would get a win out of it. And then I didn't get the win. So it's almost like she wasted it. That's a really gross way to say that. I know, but you know, we kind of saw the same thing with Blair St. Clair. I feel like that was where she was in the bottom and she thought that would keep her from being in the bottom if she told the story about the sexual assault. Like that is kind of how that feels to me, which is horrible because when she was talking about that, I genuinely felt for her and I thought her look was great. But that's talking about last week.
What are you talking about with her sad story?
With Q's sad story? About talking about being HIV positive and shunned by her family?
Oh, okay.
The thing with Q, though, I was glad that they brought it up last week only because, I mean, I'm sad that Q now has this lifelong, you know, challenge, but I am seeing more and more young people come in that are newly diagnosed, like clients that are in their early 20s. So I think that part of this is good because it tells a lot of younger generation think, oh, that's old gays disease. We don't have to worry about that. Or we can just pop a pill every day and then everything's fine. And while you can take care of yourself medically and it's not like it was in the 90s, it does still affect your life in ways that are completely different, that it sends you on a different trajectory. And unfortunately, there is still a stigma attached to that. And there are people that feel as though it is punishment from God, or that, you know, that you get what you deserve kind of thing. And there is still a grossness to that. It's much better than it was when I was originally a case manager in the 90s, but it's still there. So I'm glad that they addressed this in that way.
Q, I don't know if Q listens. I don't think she does. But if you're listening, Q, your HIV is not a punishment from God. Your baldness is, but not the HIV, okay? But now let me ask you. So, but it's funny that you say this, Taylor, is do you remember, this is probably 5 or 6, maybe more years ago, this Zachary Quinto got in hot water because he kind of addressed this in an interview where he said he worried that young people were forgetting, you know, that they were just treating HIV like it wasn't a big deal. And he worried about these really free sexual practices that would lead to people getting HIV and they don't realize it's a serious disease.
Yeah, no, I think that we are seeing that to some degree. I mean, it's, I'm starting to see, get referrals for clients that were born in the 2000s, which just like kills me that, you know, and I mean, they honestly, 9 times out of 10, the HIV part of it isn't the main thing that we're talking about. Though for some, though, it is, how do I tell my family? What do I do? I'm 23, I'm 24. I want to date. How do I approach this as a young person and thinking about, I want to start a life with somebody and saying, oh, by the way, you know, unfortunately, that is something that we, that I see a lot, is people being rejected, you know, wonderful people, healthy people that you just say HIV and people are like, nope, I'm not getting involved with that. I'm out. And it's, it leads to loneliness, which then creates depression, which then creates other, I mean, it's a whole cycle. So yeah, and we're seeing it younger and younger right now.
Yeah. Mama, kudos for saying that, for staying seriously.
Kudos.
You know, another thing too is Q seems to be blaming some random mysterious force, maybe even Sophia, but I'm like, you know, RuPaul makes this decision. And it does come, I think Morphine sort of confronts her on this and says, well, bring it to the judges or something like that. But it's like, so when she's, what's funny if you really think about it, because she tells, so people who don't watch the show, is she has this like hissy fit, pouty, like, I'm not going to talk and I need time thing immediately when they're de-dragging. And the next day she comes in and she's like, do, 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 right? And she comes in, she's super happy. She goes, you know what? And you think she's turned a corner. She's like, I thought about it. You know, I was in my feelings, blah, 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 blah. And then I just realized, you know, well, Safira didn't deserve it. And you're like, what the fuck?
But did you also notice when she was running into the workroom, do-do-do-do-do-do, she sort of pushed Morphine out of the way so that she would land in front, of the camera.
Yeah.
And she does a little pose. I noticed that. And I was like, you're a bad person.
She's not a good person. She is not a good person. Something I can't speak on, didn't notice. Well, I'm sure you guys talked about or know about this, but like Monet and Naomi Smalls had a conversation about Q's use of a black scent. I have to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not black, so I can't speak on this, but also I didn't pick up on this. Did you guys pick up on this?
I sort of registered it, but I listened to that episode with Naomi and it was that moment where they were around the tables and like there was a fake fight with someone and she was like, oh, Maya girl, the girls are fighting. Help me, Maya. And that was at that moment that they were referring to. And looking back on it, I was like, yeah, that was a bit black scenty.
Interesting. Anyway, we've discussed it. Q is an awful person. And I will say this, very talented fashion. Taylor has something to say. What do you have to say, Taylor?
If I can just add something on the positive side of it, the way Safira handled it was amazing. You know, because it could have gotten ugly. And I think it was maybe starting to, but I think the question of, well, why do you think I won then? Was, I thought, was an, you know, was a very fair question of that, of where, and she didn't have an answer. She was just doing that. I don't know. But it speaks to why, I mean, I think it's Safira's crown to lose this year.
Well, it's Safira is exhibiting winner behavior and Q is exhibiting loser behavior. I had said before, this meant to me she doesn't make it to the finals. Maybe she does make it to the finals. There's something weird, and I don't understand, and people, please don't tell me. There is something weird that's going to happen at the reunion.
Oh.
But I don't really quite understand it. Do you know about this, Nathan?
No.
So I'll tell you what I know, and it doesn't make any sense to me. They, you know, whenever you have like Philo or any kind of like DVR or cable or anything, it'll tell you a couple episodes ahead what the episode's sort of generally about, like the log line. And the title and long line are like reunion lip sync of Perusa or something like that. Right. And the people in the comments are like, oh, my God, the spoilers are true or something like that. I don't know what that means. We're going to find out.
Hmm.
But something crazy is happening at the reunion. So people should know it's pretty much been confirmed, especially this confirms it, is because of the writer's strike, they brought the girls back in August and filmed the reunion and the finale because they didn't know what was going to happen with the strikes.
Oh.
Yeah. So they've already been filmed. Everything's already been done.
Oh.
So that's why they were like, okay, so something's happening at the reunion. It, who knows? I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't want to know.
Okay.
I'm sure I could go to the, you know, Reddit spoilers thing and find out. But
well, yeah. I have a theory.
Yeah.
What they did for the All-Stars the last year where there was the where they all kind of came back and showed all of their looks. And then mm-hmm. there was a prize for – I forget what that was called already. I forget what it is. Maybe there's something similar to that.
The fame game?
The fame games. Maybe it's something like an equivalent of the fame games, but with lip syncs.
Hmm. Oh, maybe you're right. Like the old people get to come back and we get to see, you know, Geneva Carr go up against Megami or some sort of dumb
guy. Like that.
I completely forgot she was part of the cast.
Which one?
Yes.
Who was the first one to go?
Hershey?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hershey LaCourgette.
Oh, my God. That was this season?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, can I just say, this is really, this whole incident has made me really want Saphira to win. I was sort of on the fence with Saphira thinking like, oh, I'd rather maybe Nymphia would win. But now I'm like, fuck it. I want Saphira to go and win every single challenge. I want Q to be embarrassed. I kind of want the final two to be Q and Saphira and for Saphira to beat her. And I want to see Q crumble. I hate her that much right now.
Really?
I just feel like I had to put that into the universe.
Thank you. And I think I should say too, because, you know, it's only been less than 24 hours since the episode dropped. I'm sure I'll have more thoughts about Q. So tune into Relaska Thoughts with Robert, with me next week. And we will, I'm sure, discuss the Q situation at length. And I'll have more complete thoughts about it there. All right. Let's talk about this mini challenge. Norvina comes in and she decides to, you know, they're going to do this thing where the queens have to put on makeup and then push their faces up against the pit crew guys in a t-shirt, and the best one wins based on what Norvina wants. What did you think of this mini challenge, Taylor?
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was a silly, no stakes kind of fun thing to do. I remember those t-shirts. I worked in the mall.
Oh, really? I don't remember them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I totally remember those t-shirts.
I wasn't alive, so.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, you were born in 97. Isn't that when you were born?
Don't age me. It was like 98, 99.
Okay. But yeah, those shirts, they were like a funny gag gift that you would get at, you know, a Spencer Gifts or something like that. But I thought it was fun. I love that I was at another couple's house. We were watching the show last night together. And when the pit crew guy with the hairy chest and the beard came out, all four of us went, oh. So he was very, very cute.
I'm going to tell you something. When they all walked out, like, this might be the hottest batch of pit crew people in a long time. Sometimes there's a few clunkers, you know? But even the awkward redhead looked really hot, too.
Bryce?
What is Bryce?
Yeah. Well, he's got a little scruff on him. Usually he's clean shaven, but he's got a little bit of scruff.
I'm a little embarrassed because there's a part – I'm so embarrassed. There's a part where RuPaul says to Norvina, like, Norvina, who's your favorite impressionist painter? And she goes, I think it's Monet Exchange. And I go, what the fuck does this joke mean? And I had to call someone and they told me like, and they treated me like a dummy. They're like, well, impressionism was a style of painting. And there was a famous painter named Monet, and you know, Claude Monet. And I was like, okay, I get it. I don't know why I didn't associate the two of them right there. Any other thoughts on the mini challenge, Nathan?
I agree. I think the pit crew really shone this episode. And I thought it was funny that Rue was doing his little seminar on Tammy Faye as if he's like teaching the children. And I was like, that was a pretty like big Oscar-winning movie about Tammy Faye just like a couple of years ago. And there's like a Broadway musical about her. And she's also been mentioned a million times on the show before. But I was like, okay, thanks. Teach the kids the history.
I actually think he underplayed it. I think they were really good friends. And actually, the movie was based on a documentary made by World of Wonder. And those guys from World of Wonder were the executive producers of the movie.
So it's weird that this challenge wasn't a few years ago then. Like to tie in.
Now that's a good idea. Yeah, right. That's a good
point.
But also, the pit crew guy that was with Dawn that comes into it later in the episode, did you know that he's Todrick Hall's ex?
Not the hot one from the morphine
one. Yep. Yep. Isn't that wild?
Don't even get me started. I'm just going to ignore you saying that right now. Don't bring that up again.
No, go off. Go off, sis.
No.
Come on, mama, spill.
Next, Rue announces that for this week's Maxi Challenge, the queens will star in the new design show Bathroom Hunties. RuPaul split the girls in teams of two and charged each designing duo with the task of building a show-stopping powder room for a fun new nightclub. In the workroom, the teams get to work on their bathroom, with Morphine and Q decide on an underworld theme, Dawn and Nymphia aim to capitalize on Dawn's flatulence, and Saphira and Plain settle on a speakeasy theme. And then the queens get to work painting and outfitting their bathrooms. Morphine and Q paint flames in their walls. Plain and Saphira find tons of 1920s treasures. And Dawn and Nymphia struggle to agree on a paint scheme. Finally, Plain defaces the fart museum, leading to a paint fight among the teams. Let's start in little pieces. Start in the workroom. Taylor, any big thoughts on anything that happened in the workroom while they're discussing their plans?
Not really. I mean, I think it was just a lot of there's the one team that's got synergy, the one team that's struggling a little bit, and the one where there are two like completely different planes of reality sort of thing. It's very cookie cutter Drag Race for a makeover type or design challenge.
What about you, Nathan? What do you think about this workroom moment?
Yeah, I agree. When they split up the teams, I thought the Plain and Saphira team was pretty stacked compared to the others. And you could sort of see either of those other two teams being in the bottom or like judging individually as they did, splitting them up. But you could sort of see that coming. And I thought it was interesting as well when Rue announces the challenge, he says it's a bathroom for a nightclub, not like a museum or a hellscape or anything like that. So I don't know why like they were like, Morphine was like, maybe like heaven or hell. And they were like, that's a great idea. And I was like, why? I feel like we've done that a million times.
I think they didn't know what else to do.
It's a pretty shit challenge.
I do like that in the challenge, RuPaul says, and the bathroom has to be 100% gender inclusive. And I was like, unlike your show, mama?
Sister.
She got really mad and she slapped me and said that. Anyway, then Morphine confronts Q. She's like, I guess we got to talk about it because it's going to stink up this whole thing. And then Q gives her the answer and she's like, okay, you know, I'm like, well, Morphine, you brought it up. Q wasn't the one bringing it up. I'll defend Q slightly. Q was just doing her job. And then Morphine's like, okay, let's talk about this. And then when Q went off, she was like, oh my God.
No, it's because what Q was saying was bullshit. She was like, I didn't say anything. I move on very quickly. And it's like, no, doll, you don't.
No.
Yeah, I know. It's really awkward. I've been there where people say, like, they're so... Q lacks any sort of self-awareness. Like, none. Like, there's no self-awareness. By the way, all the ideas they were talking about sounded even awful at this stage. The bathroom, the hell, the 19... And I like how Dawn was like, ugh, I gotta rein Nymphia in on this. I'm like, you have never done well in these challenges. Who the fuck are you to be like, I gotta take control of this bitch?
Right.
What have you done? You were just... It was not... It was like this whole team thing was last week and you guys stunk it up.
Yeah.
And she goes... And Nymphia's all over the place and Nymphia says farting and she goes, that's an idea. And I would have been like, that's an awful idea. That is an awful idea. And by the way, and this is going to be very old man of me, I'm going to sound very Taylor the Latte Boy here.
Hey.
Ragtime is not from the 1920s. Thank you. They kept focusing on I think it was the Entertainer, you know, and the song The Entertainer by Scott Joplin. That's from the late 1800s.
Yeah.
Like, 1920s is like the Charleston, like the dun, 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 dun. Well, Nathan, you're one of those theater faggots. Thoroughly Modern Millie is like 1920s. You know that show, right?
Yeah.
That's 1920s.
But wasn't that set in 1920s, but it wasn't like made in 1920s.
Yeah, but the music is 1920s theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same. It's not that fucking ragtime. That was in the late
1800s. Yeah, I took umbrage with them designing a bathroom for a nightclub where you get all this free hooch in the bathroom. It's like, how is this a good business model for the operators of the nightclub?
That's a good point. Well, that's a really good point.
How come all of them thought gender inclusive meant you have to stare at each other while you shit? Every single one, they were staring at each other while they shat.
Yeah.
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 It was weird. I'm like, it just means that anybody, why does it mean that? I don't know. What would, you know, here's a good question. Nathan, what would you have done? What would have been your bathroom scene?
Well, I was kind of vibing with the glory hole joke that Plain and Sapphira did. So I would incorporate a glory hole in there somewhere. Maybe a suck pit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it.
Taylor, what about you?
I would have done something if it was supposed to be gender inclusive. Honestly, the first thing that popped in my head was like superheroes. I don't know why, but something mm-hmm. that it was very like, you know.
I don't know. By the way, everyone behind Taylor has nothing but superhero things behind him. He goes, I don't know why I'm thinking superhero. And I'm like, yeah, it's like nothing but superheroes behind him. Why is there a Nagel painting behind you? What is that?
It's not a Nagel painting. I've been waiting for you to make fun of that. Actually, it was a gift from a patient of mine, a hospice patient who has since deceased. And it is actually, it's stained glass. So it's white and red and black. No, it's not Nagel. I guess it's kind of sort of based on a Nagel, but she designed it herself and she created it. And then she had a bunch of them all over her house. And after she passed, her daughter asked me if I would like to take this one particular one, and I was honored. So it's kind of hung out in my kitchen this whole time, but now that we're renovating the kitchen, it's just kind of hanging out with all of my medals from all of my races.
Nathan, do you know what a Nagel painting is?
Is it one of the Impressionists?
It is. It's Rich Little. It is. No. That's a dumb joke.
That is a dumb joke. I miss this. I miss doing this. I can't wait for All Stars.
Oh, yeah. I just went to episode 3 of All Stars.
Right. And then I'm just like, I want to go home. I don't want to be here anymore.
Nathan will give you the job right now.
No.
All right. They start painting the rooms, okay? Honestly, I didn't really have anything that it, I was actually going to ask someone who goes to the bars and watches the show. I don't know if Robert watched at the bar this week. Like, what? Because sometimes I will say when they do things like this, I go, you know what? This is not that interesting for someone sitting, you know, eating Doritos out of a bag and they're by themselves. But maybe at the club, it really works, you know? I can't even imagine this doing well at the club.
Well, no, when they've done this challenge before, like, you get some iconic moments. Like, there was mm-hmm. that thing with Monet and What's-A-Face with painting up and down. And there was, you know, yeah. the Club mm-hmm. 96. Like, I think this format does sort of...
I know, but this one, no.
Putting the girls to work, it does lend itself to, like, fun times.
But I felt this one was not... It felt very kind of forced. Like, we're going to try and make it fun and funny. And, like, it wasn't fun or funny.
I just felt bad for Sapphira because she's, like, Bobby Burke over there doing the whole room while Plain Jane's mm-hmm. running around like Karamo. And yeah, it's just like I appreciate the fun, but someone's got to do the work, doll.
Did you get the joke when Nymphia and Dawn are working and she goes, I'm just a guy holding a leg? What is
Didn't
that?
Get
I feel
it.
Like that's like a meme kind of thing. That I even Googled it and I know it references something, but I couldn't figure it out. And yeah, nothing really happened to me. Anything happened to you for Taylor?
No.
Yeah.
No. I get that it's, you know, they've done bedrooms before. They've done other types of rooms. This is they're running out of rooms to do. So I guess it makes sense that eventually we would have a bathroom makeover. But and Rue likes potty mouth humor. So
yeah,
it makes sense. It lends itself to pooping and farting and that kind of thing.
And also those great improv actors, Michelle and Carson. All right. It's elimination day. The girls get ready for the runway. Morphine asks the girls if they ever had a bathroom accident and shares that she almost shit herself, or she did shit herself. It's kind of vague to me. During a jump split, Morphine also shares her struggles choosing a bathroom when out. Later, Sapphira and Q bury the hatchet. And finally, Plain gets emotional talking about the pressure she feels to succeed. Meanwhile, Sapphira offers comfort and advice to a teary Plain Jane. Let's start with you, Nathan P. Brown. Any thoughts on this elimination day?
Yeah, I thought I felt bad for Morphine when she said because she's non-binary, she feels uncomfortable going to like airport bathrooms. And I was like, that's a big deal for someone who shits five times a day. Like, she must be coming into this problem a lot. And also, shitting five times a day seems like a lot.
Yeah,
it does.
How often do you guys poop?
Do you want to go first since you asked the question?
Yeah, I'll just do one in the morning. I have a squatty potty, so I make sure it all gets out, and then that's me done for the day.
I'm with you, Nathan. And I'm also really fast, too. I don't spend a lot of time pooping. Like, it comes right out.
Great.
Thank you. Taylor?
I guess on average once a day, but sometimes I go a day or two, and then I, like, go.
Oh, so you skip a day?
I've never skipped a day.
You skip poop day?
Occasionally. I skip occasionally, but I'm also on Ozempic, so that's part of it too. Is that the food takes longer to digest, than it, which keeps you feeling full longer. So then it kind of you have to go. Yeah,
How are you liking this Ozempic?
I've been Ozempic for 2 years, even before all of the, what do you call it? My A1C has never been better. I've dropped probably like 40 or 50 pounds over the course of the last couple of years. And it has changed my life. And I've been very fortunate that I haven't had any of the side effects other than apparently I poop every 2 days instead of one. But I couldn't be happier with it.
Mm. Interesting.
Which is good because I will probably be on it for the rest of my life. So that's, good thing that I get along with it.
Ozempic. Oh.
And are we on an off day today or have you pooped today?
I am on an off day today.
You're strangely interested in this, Nathan.
I have. Do you want me to send you video of me showing my pits while I'm on the toilet? I mean, I could do that.
Here's the thing. His name's Brown. Like, it's weird that Nathan Brown is super into like poop and hearing about poop.
No, I'm not. But it's nice to know when people are regular or not.
Is it though?
Tell you what. I will send you and I are friends on Instagram. I will send you a message the next time I poop.
I don't need a visual, but yeah, I'd like to hear about
it. No, I'm not sending you a visual. I will just send you a little poop emoji so that you know that I'm on the toilet and thinking of you.
I'll keep track.
Any other thoughts from Elimination Day? Taylor?
I mean, the Plain Jane stuff I thought was interesting. Just to see that crack in the hard candy shell that is Plain Jane. She is possibly one of the most fascinating characters that we've had on the show in a really long time. From a therapist standpoint, the activity, the exercise that Safira did with her is classic acceptance and commitment therapy, of where you're recognizing that your words do only have power over you if you allow them to have power over you. And the whole idea of read them out loud, and then you recognize that it's just a thought and you throw it behind you was a really great activity that is something that I could see myself trying to do as a therapist. So I have a feeling that Safira has probably got some therapy background, probably may have attended therapy at some point. But and it also just shows that motherly charisma. Safira just seems like a wonderful person. And this was more proof of that.
Going with what you were saying about Plain Jane, she's an interesting person. I don't know if you guys saw this video, but a mandatory meeting released this video she's been sitting on for like a year, where after the season was finished taping, they all went out. They must have gone to see Morphine perform, but they're all because they're mostly in boy clothes, but Morphine's in drag.
Uh-huh.
And just randomly at the club, this body song came on. And Dawn is like, oh, my God, and like trying to like they're having a good time. Right. But it's so funny because at one point Plain is like dancing and living her best life. And then she sees the cameras on her and she just stops. It's really interesting. It's also fun to see that they all get along and they're friends and whatnot, because people should know out there, like, Taylor and Nathan, I hate each other. We never talk. So, like, it's fun to see people actually work together and they get along. So Plain Jane, I want to tell you what a genius she is. I've said this before and I'll say it again. This Plain Jane has plotted out her entire arc on this show. And this, I'm going to call it, I think this was a very fake moment, but she did a good job at it.
Agreed.
This is where I'm going to show my vulnerable side, because I wasn't ever quite clear why she was crying.
She didn't really say anything.
She didn't say anything.
And did you notice she tried to throw up the piece of paper where she wrote down the words and not read it out loud? And Sophia was like, no, read it out loud. And she was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And we never saw writing on the piece of paper. So I think she was just like making it up on the spot at that point.
Yeah. Because, and she was just like, look, if it was somebody else, if it was Amanda, if it was Tsunami or Mirage saying this, like, oh, okay, I can see this. Right. Yeah. But like, for someone who, and I'm not saying, like, look, I can come off as confident sometimes, and I have these kinds of imposter syndrome thoughts. But what I'm saying is, like, she's put up such a wall that for her to just all of a sudden cry about it on camera seems odd to me. Like, for instance, take Q, for instance. I think this is something I said last week, or I said somewhere on some, I think it was on Rulaska Thoughts, but it was like, I could see being angry the way Q was angry. I could see that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I would put on my best face because I don't have a camera and then go to the hotel room and, you know, Tina bring me the axe kind of shit. Right. And I wouldn't let it out on camera. It's the same thing with Plane. I think she's so controlled that if she does have these feelings that they wouldn't come out on camera unless it was calculated, unless it was orchestrated. I'm not even saying they're not genuine. I just I don't know. There's something comes off as I don't know what the right
inauthentic.
Word. I was gonna say disingenuous, but I just said genuine, and they're not the same word. But Robert will tell me about this on Tuesday. And something seemed disingenuous about it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Also, in that whole segment, Sophia brings it up with Q. Did we already talk about that?
We didn't talk about it, but
in the script we did, but we haven't talked about it. You want to say something about it?
Well, it was just there, like, Q's immediate reaction was like, don't say invalidate. And it's like, well, no, you did invalidate her win.
Yeah.
And it just, it took her a long time to sort of come around to that. It felt, I don't know if it's being all being edited this way, but even though she apologized, she's still coming off like a dickhead.
It felt very, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The apology to me felt very, it just felt very, okay, this is my last chance to kind of swing this back around. So I'm going to, like, you know, I'm really sorry you feel that way. Because even when she said, I could have said it differently, but you're not saying that you still don't believe it.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the looks. The category was chain reaction. You guys both love talking about the look. So go.
Taylor, do you want to take this one?
We just do like our favorites and least favorite, even though there was only six looks, or how do we do this now?
You guys do however you want. I'm going to sit here and stare at you guys. So I'm going to watch the show.
Nathan, what were your top two favorite looks?
Oh, my favorite was Safira's. When she first walked out, I kind of screamed because I thought it was the girl from Our Real Monsters. Did you ever watch that Nickelodeon show? I thought that was her, no. But then I was like, oh, she's not doing that. She's doing like a bondage dog, but I still loved it. I thought that was just like really fun and different for her. And I think Morphine's was like my next favorite. I think she just did a really good job and it looked really effective. What about you?
Can we talk about something right here? Because this is boring to me. This Nickelodeon drama. You know about this,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
With the quiet on set.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. It's really awful. And poor everybody involved. And no one should have been molested. But don't you think it's kind of a brilliant PR move on just Drake Bell's part? Is because now everybody is like, oh my God, that's so sad. That's why he was sexting with underage people. And I was like, you know what? He just kind of reworked this into like, because he was doing the same thing, but he's made it so like, that's why he did it. Now everyone feels sorry for him. And that's been rubbing me the wrong way. Thank you.
Yeah. I thought the same thing too. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Those are my top two favorite as well. When Morphine came around the corner, it was very like, ooh. And we all like gasped when Safira came out on sitting on the couch. It was awesome. What was your two least favorite?
I would say Q's was shit because I hate her. And then Dawn, I kind of missed the concept. I was ragged on her for being all concept, no gorgeousness. But now I'm like, oh, a concept would have been good because it sort of just seemed a bit boring for Dawn. What about you?
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching, I think, who was it that talked about that the chains felt like an afterthought? Was that the judges or was that on the pit stop? I wonder.
No, it was on the main stage.
It was on the main stage. Yeah,
my ears went up when I heard afterthought. And then I was like, people are going to think this is going to be the clip zero, so I'm not going to make this a clip zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was Dawn was probably my least favorite of all the looks. And Q, Dawn and Q, yeah, you and I are very similar in that. That I, not because I hate Q. I actually like some of Q's stuff that she's done in the past. But that look just felt – and the weird hair that was sort of like a dog, and then it had this weird wet mop on top of it. Not good. Not good. Those are my least two favorite as well.
All right. Very good. Nice. Now let's talk about the Maxi Challenge presentation, Bathroom Hunties. Let's go bit by bit. So it's only three. The Naughty Potty. That was the one with – who was Naughty Potty? Morphine and Q?
Yes.
And that one was like a haunted house kind of thing, right?
They were in hell.
Hell. Yeah. What did you guys think of this one? Let's start with you, Taylor.
I thought that it had the potential to be strong. It felt like they had a couple of spots that could have been funny. Particularly the one where Michelle was trying to like grab the toilet paper and it was way out of reach. Like if you're going to have a bathroom in hell, that sounds like something that you would have. Also, we have to talk about the crotch on the pit crew member that was obscene.
The big giant dick in the room.
Right. But it was the interview sections of where they were interviewing Q and Morphine. It felt like they didn't have anything planned. So there was a lot of, it felt like there was a lot of them looking at each other like, okay, what are you, two, three bodies, one brain kind of thing, where they were trying to figure out how to get their story together. Like they were so busy creating the room, they didn't think about, oh, we need to create the characters too.
Nathan?
Totally agree, but let's get back to that crotch. So do we think it was stuffed with like a tennis ball or something? Or is he just like bricked up because he likes being tickled?
I think he's addressed this on his social media and said he just really like that. He never said I had a hard on, but like insinuated he did. I mean, I don't know what the story is.
Really? Because I think, was he the same one in the third one wearing the black undies? And I didn't see a visible bulge there.
Playing the piano. Yeah.
Do you actually think that was a boner?
I don't know.
I can't imagine it not being. Like I can't imagine, because if you did something like a tennis ball or something in there, it would pull it far enough away that you'd be able to see the waistband pulling away a little bit just because of the round circumference of like a tennis ball, assuming that it's a tennis ball. But I think that might have been that he's just packing.
He was feeling
which,
it.
God bless him.
And God bless Todrick, who used to date.
Hold on for a second. Taylor, Nathan, you often brag on this show about how big your penis is. If you were wearing the Speedos, wouldn't you have the same sort of thing?
Not like that.
Oh, really?
Prove it. Go put on a Speedo. We'll wait.
I find Speedos to be very tight and restrictive. Like they would more push things down, which is why I was so surprised at the sticky addiness of that bulge.
But couldn't you do a thing where like, yes, you're right, but if you arrange it in such a way, then it's sitting on top of your thighs, so to speak, and so then lift it up almost like a BBL, Brazilian ball lift.
Yeah.
Yes, he was very hot, and that bulge was – I didn't even pay attention to that. They tickled him or something? I was like – I was literally just staring at it the whole time. I did not pay attention.
Oh, it was so distracting. Even while they were touring the bathroom and he was in the background, I was like, that's a boner.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I could just watch porn anytime I want. Look, here's my thing. Morphine was in the bottom. Honestly, I thought that this one was the middle one for me. So – and I thought she was fine. So I don't know if she necessarily deserved to be in the bottom because of it. And again, maybe they just wanted to just seal the deal and send home Dawn. But I don't know. I don't know if you guys feel. Do you guys feel she was bottom two worthy from this?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, really? Interesting. Uh-huh.
Only because she looked so lost through everything. That to me was why I thought so. Because at one point they ask her a question or something. She goes, I don't know. You talk.
Yeah, she forget.
Yeah.
What about this fart museum one? This is the one with Nymphia and Dawn, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
What did you think of this, Nathan?
I didn't like it so much as a concept. And I think Nymphia did overshadow Dawn. And they seemed to knock her for it. But I kind of saw it more as she was carrying Dawn. I think Dawn was floundering and Nymphia just like did a good thing in not letting there be dead air. So I don't know why that's a knock on Nymphia.
Taylor?
Well, I think it's a knock on Nymphia because they needed to have a bottom three, a third bottom. So, and that's, they come up with reasons. I mean, they literally say to her, to Dawn, you're not talking enough. You know, you're letting her talk too much. And then it's like, you're talking too much. You're not letting her talk. I mean, so mm-hmm. they come up with reasons how they come up with reasons. I am not I know that Joe is not necessarily a bathroom humor guy, and I am similar with that. I don't think farts are funny. Like, okay, let me rephrase that. I don't think farts on like TV shows or movies are funny.
Mm-hmm.
So that took me out of it, like just as a concept. And I just didn't like this one at all. Plus, I don't get why she had the big clear balloons for the boobs. Like, I don't understand that, like what that was supposed to represent. Like, was she supposed to have like fart bubbles as her boobs or something?
I didn't. I just thought it was arty.
Well, it was dumb.
I love a fart joke.
Listen, this was bad. It was the worst one. And did you see? It was funny because it was like, I thought Carson and Michelle were really bad. They think they're improv actors, right? And then at one point, Carson spins around and you see the earplug in his ear.
Oh.
I'm like, he has an earpiece and he's still this bad? What are they telling him? Thank you. That was my whole thing. And then finally, we have Booty Licker Speakeasy. Taylor, what are your thoughts on this one? This is the 1920 scene one.
This was my favorite of all of them, primarily because of the rapport that Plain and Safira had in this, where they definitely had the jokes. they definitely had the jokes mapped out. And it was there was a fun rapport to watch the two of them. So plus of the three designs, that was the one I liked the best of all of them. So mm-hmm. that was clear they were a winner from as soon as they were all done. We're like, well, we know who won this one.
Nathan?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they had stalls on the toilet doors. Like, you couldn't just walk into a bathroom and see people shitting. So I thought that was just like bonus points just for design on its own. And yeah, they were the clear winner.
All right, very good. What was the... Yeah, I would agree with you. That's a clear winner. All right, on the main stage, Rue names Safira and Plain the winners of the challenge before placing Dawn and Morphine in the bottom two. This forces them to square off in a lip sync battle for their lives. The song... Body by Megan Thee Stallion. In the end, Morphine Love Dion is told Shantae you stay while Dawn is asked to sashay away. Ladies, any final thoughts on the episode? We're going to start with the one that only the talented Mr. Taylor the Latte Boy. Nathan the Latte Boy. Taylor Patrick Brown. Taylor, what were your any final thoughts? Anything on the main stage? Any notes that you missed? Anything? Any final thoughts here?
I think that just as, I mean, obviously I haven't been hosting, and Nathan's been doing a great job. I have just thoroughly enjoyed this season. I have actually thoroughly enjoyed the season. It's been refreshing what the queens are like, and they don't seem afraid to kind of show their stuff. And I look forward to the show every week. So I just have enjoyed the season so far. And I like everybody that's left. Like, I'll be set. I think I know who's probably going home next week, but I'm sad because whoever the top four are, they're really, really, it's a really good top four.
Nathan?
My only final thought is I enjoyed Dawn's mirror message. It was just like, bye, EXO Dawn. And I thought that was refreshingly short.
Yeah. I'm sick of these fucking Nepo babies. I was like, who the fuck is this Mayan Lopez? You know who she is? She's George Lopez's daughter.
Yeah.
I'm like, no wonder she wasn't fucking funny.
Who's George Lopez?
Such a fucking Nepo. He's a comedian here in the U.S. He's not horrible, but he's a horrible human being. And his daughter, I'm like, why the fuck is she there? I know she's on some horrible show with him. It's probably canceled by now. This George Lopez. What the fuck does his daughter have to say? You know, I wish she was extinct like the Mayans are.
Yikes.
I don't like her. Taylor, you thought you liked this man, Mayan Lopez?
No, I didn't like her as – I didn't know who she was, and I didn't like her as a host, a judge either. So
at least with this, yeah. at least with the Cindy Crawford's daughter, at least she's a model. You know, at least there's just something, which she probably, I will say, I once saw Cindy Crawford and her family at the Malibu, the Malibu Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Cindy Crawford is fucking stunning, right, in person. Yeah. But her kids were equally beautiful, too. Like, they were just very attractive. I mean, she's a model. Maya Lopez, the only thing she could model is, I don't know, I can't think of a fat joke yet. But she's not fat. What is she? I don't know what she is. She's in that weird... Oh, Taylor, you haven't heard this episode yet, but I was talking about there are people who aren't fat, but that you just think of them as fat. And my example with this Tina Yothers from Family Ties, like, I don't think she was fat, but she's a fat girl in my head.
Because she had a very round face. She had a very round face with, like, the big apple cheeks and had that going into her teen years from when she was little to when she was a teenager on that show. So yeah, you just always sort of assumed that she was chunky. Maya Lopez also talked about on Untucked that she's recently lost 80 pounds. So maybe that's why you see her that way.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay, very good. And then what about this Mindy Cohen? Was she fat or do you think I just think of her as fat?
No, she was fat.
Okay. All right.
But she's another one that she's lost a ton of weight. And when you see her in the face, if it's from the like shoulders up, you think, oh, she must still be fat. But then she's very thin in real life.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Special thanks, by the way, to Mr. Taylor the Latte Boy for sitting in this week. Thank you, Taylor.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's totally not called for. You can find his show Pod as My Co-Pilot wherever you get your podcast. And be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 16. So, for Taylor the Latte Boy and myself.
And Nathan. Sashay away.
Oh, wait. I didn't say Nathan Brown?
Wow!
Thank you for listening to Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakput.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can also email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This podcast was produced by Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has another podcast. It's called Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nathan Brown on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. Special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters. Alex S. Anonymous. April Pacheco. Astute Girl. Brad Coley. Filsket Pony, Deckhead, Doofus Maximus, E. Smith, Elizabeth Tinner, Emma, Humble Pie, Isaac Martin, Jade Thomas Plank, Jesse Harris, Kathy Zender, Lauren Eckert, Lucy Carrasco, Luke Stamen, Mike Yeager, Nikki Baker, Poppy Woods, Ricardo the Hoodeda, Robert NYC, Sarah Yu, Runner Brandon, Tom Bombs, Travi Cosmos, Troy Anderson, and Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.